Welcome to the scorching arena of valor and the crucible of courage. This is the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Here in the inferno of life's greatest challenges, heroes are shaped and legends are born. Every episode is a torchlight of wisdom, casting a glow on the paths walked by those who've braved the flames and emerged stronger. In this furnace of fortitude, we'll explore tales of resilience, bravery, and the unyielding human spirit. Each guest brings their own spark of insight, lighting up the darkness and guiding us through the smoke of adversity. With Fireman Rob at the helm, prepared to delve into conversations that smolder with significance and stories that kindle the soul. It's not just a podcast, it's a beacon for all who seek to rise from the ashes and glow with purpose. So stoke the fires of your curiosity and ready your heart for tales of triumph and transformation. The flames are roaring. The stage is ablaze. Welcome to the Forged in the Fires podcast. Let the journey begin.
All right, welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. Today's guest, amazing individual. Over 15 years as in health services. She's worked in as a mental health professional, but she's also part of something bigger. She's the director of programs at the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. She is a mom. She's all sorts of things. Let's just get into this right now. Barbara Secor, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I love it. So I love your background in mental health. I mean, how did you choose to get into that career field?
Well, I think it's like many individuals who get into the mental health or helping careers is oftentimes it's something that occurred in your childhood or your life that led you to really appreciate those careers and those people who can make a difference.
Yeah. And it's one of those fields that's constantly dynamic. I mean, I can only imagine with having three kids that you understand dynamic nature.
It's definitely a balancing act.
Yeah. And now how did you get involved with Special Operations Warrior Foundation, which is such an amazing foundation?
Yeah. So as you had mentioned, my background is in clinical mental health. So I'm a licensed therapist, but I'm also a Army spouse. So with that being said, we are constantly bouncing around. And what's unique about being a mental health counselor is that each state or base that you live on, you have to hold a license in that particular state.
That's hard.
So it's very interesting. It's getting better. The support for spouses is getting better. But my husband was stationed at MacDill in about 2018. And I was working as a mental health counselor, actually, with the homeless in the Tampa area. And we joined a SOCOM outing, and we met another spouse who worked for the foundation, actually. So when a position opened in the foundation, she put my name in there and recommended me. So it's a good bid to the community. It really means a lot to be part of the military community as well.
Now being in that realm, because I think it's so interesting, always mental health professionals, they all have different realizations and specialties. Now, being in the military and being a military spouse and also just understanding that philosophy, how is it with military members, military members that are looking for help? I always like to ask, what do you think is the best way to approach that from their perspective?
Yeah, that's really difficult. So I actually only worked with the veteran community or with the active duty service members for about 3 years. And that was from about 2012, 2015. And there is just still such a stigma. And as much as we like to say there isn't, there is. Yeah. So a lot of it's just, being down to earth and understanding that no matter who you are, even as an entirely healthy person, there's a lot of benefits to therapy because life is stressful. And sometimes even the littlest things can be hard to adjust to. And normalizing that more and understanding that it doesn't make you a weak person. It doesn't make you unable to do what you need to do. It just means that you're trying to be the best you possible.
That's such a valuable lesson. And, you know, when you're looking for help, you know, with your background, both in the military, I mean, and being a spouse in the military, you have a different perspective. How does that correlate into just that understanding?
Yeah, it's so very interesting. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to where I still have my husband with me. He retires actually next year, but,
that's awesome.
It is awesome. I know. But seeing him transition through, you know, we were high school sweethearts, so we've been able to make the journey all the way together. But seeing him through the, you know, go up through the ranks, to see him go into these trainings, to deployment, and now transitioning out, it is such a lot of pressure in so many different ways and so many different aspects that these service members have to endure and just learn to cope with and move forward. It is a lot. So, right. I mean, I wish I could shout out to everyone to say, hey, let's just make it mandatory that you have to check in with a mental health provider.
Right.
But until that's done, then I don't know much is going to change.
Well, and that's the hard thing is like you only know what you know from what he's able to tell you. But at mm-hmm. the same point, how, you know, I think it's so valuable for spouses to be able to understand what does that support look like from your standpoint, not only for your mental wellness, but for his and the kids. How do you approach it from your standpoint, just on a daily basis?
Yeah, and we're in a unique situation too, where my husband's actually stationed up at Fort Belvoir and I'm in Tampa. So we're not physically together right now.
Oh, but, geez, that's so hard.
Yeah, but I think just the most important thing is clear communication. Just checking in and asking the hard questions like, you know, hey, babe, I know that you're looking for your skill bridge right now. How hard is that? What does it look like? Have you talked to anybody? Just asking the hard questions or even just keeping them accountable. Have you done your LinkedIn? What's your resume look like? You know, or all these different things, all these different things where sometimes we assume because they're used to being leaders, they're used to doing and getting done what needs to get done. But sometimes they need to be checked on as well.
And then you balance the mom part. That's all that, you know, I don't know if you call it balance, but you're there. How is that? How hard is that on a family with being in the military on the kids, and how do you navigate that?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Our oldest is actually a high school senior this year. So she's seen her whole life has been as a military brat. And so it's very interesting to raise a child where you move every 2 to 3 years and watch them to adjust and adapt. And I mean, they're so resilient. I think you build a relationship as a family that's stronger than many others, because things may constantly change, but the one thing that's always stable is your unit, your family unit. So we rely on each other a lot. And I am fortunate enough to where my mother lives with us and she's an amazing help. So having that is also keeps me sane and keeps me going.
that's a huge aspect. And that's a lot of times what they talk about in that realm is that support network. How do you, you know, are you good at asking for help? Are your kids good at asking for help? And how did that come about to be able to do that? Oops, I lost you there, Barbara.
Hello?
Yeah, I lost you there for a second.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yep, good to go.
Okay. I think that's a constant struggle for me personally. I'm getting better as I get older and more mature, but I'm very stubborn and that doesn't really help. Yeah. But I mean, I think I'm getting better, especially I think as military spouses, you're often isolated and you have to be able to reach out and build a community where you're at. Yeah. So it's definitely something I've gotten better at, but could still use some strengthening on that skill a little bit. But I think that the best thing is knowing that people want to help. It's just a matter of them being aware that you need help. People don't know what you don't tell them.
That is like the quintessential thing for the military and first responders is that, you know, we just like, oh, they probably know that we're having troubles or, you know, I don't want to bother them with what's going on. How much do you hear that in your family? And then how much do you hear that from others within the unit?
Oh, I think that's pretty common. We naturally assume that, you know, we're the center of our own universe. People should recognize what we're going through and what's happening. But in reality, people have their own lives and, you know, their own situations. And it's your responsibility if it's something going on that you communicate that within right. family units, within, you know, businesses, work, wherever you're at.
Right. Now you're part of being part of like two, I forgot to mention actually the Gratitude Initiative too. These two organizations that you're a part of, I want to go into more of the Gratitude Initiative. Tell me more about what that is and how that's, you know, I guess they've been together for a decade, mm-hmm. how that is actually changing and impacting lives on a bigger scale.
Yeah. So the Gratitude Initiative, I'm a board member for them, and which is an honor. They asked me about 2 years ago. But this is a wonderful organization. It's a nonprofit that provides support to children, military children, and now also first responders as well. It's great. So it's for children, eighth grade up to high school seniors. And there is so much support. It's an online based support. But each child is paired with their own counselor who will kind of help them see them through the way. They take a bunch of assessments to help them understand, this is what I like, this is what I'm good at, this is what I'm interested in, and will help them funnel different careers, different colleges, different ideas that might be good for their future. Wow. And then all the while, these counselors will check in regularly to see how the kids are doing and also to see where they are on their college search, because believe it or not, it starts going into your freshman year of high school, because that's when you choose your first high school classes. Right. And one of the first things these colleges are going to look at is your transcript. So are you taking courses that are going to benefit you to wherever you want to get into in your future? And that's something they'll help you with as well. And then also, I mean, it's the support they provide is quite amazing. I will say it's student-led, so the student has to be motivated.
That's sometimes hard. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. Like the two organizations that you're a part of right now, like what does it mean on a daily basis? I know your kids probably look at it and go, wow, you know, that's something that I want to aspire to, what mom's doing. What does it mean to you on a personal basis to be able to give back and contribute in this way?
As a therapist and moved into this role as director of programs has to.
Oh, well, your audio is going a little there, Barbara.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yep. You're good.
Okay.
So go with your response right here.
Okay. It's interesting that you asked that, because as I left my career a couple years back as a therapist and moved into this career with nonprofit program director for SWF, and as you said, for Gratitude Initiative board member, I was nervous. I was nervous that I wouldn't get that same feeling of giving back and helping. Yeah. But I will say this is by far the most rewarding thing I have ever been a part of, besides being a mother and a wife. I mean, to interact with these families and to be able to support them through not only their education, but just to be there to be a support for them in their everyday life is better than I can imagine. It's a better way of giving back to the community that, awesome. You know, I've been a part of than I could ever imagined.
That's so amazing. And, you know, and then being that family unit leader, leading your kids down that right path, how old are your kids now?
Our oldest is 17. Her name is Kylie. She's a senior in high school this year.
Okay.
My middle child is in seventh grade. He's 12 years old. His name is Chase, and my youngest is Max, and he is 8 years old. He's in second grade.
Oh, that's fantastic. So now are they all destined for the military, or are they destined for other things, or is it just up in the air right now, like my kids were?
Yeah. You know, they definitely have interests. My daughter is still exploring what she wants to do. She is applying to colleges, so I think she's going to feel it out. And I think it's one of the things I'm learning in this position I'm in is kids these days have a lot of pressure on them. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure to be the best, to get into the best school, to do the hardest program, to do all these things. I mean, we go on college visits where they tell them that the average GPA is a 4.3. There's just
on a 4-point scale, right?
Yes, yes. There's just so many high expectations of kids these days. So one thing I want to make sure my kids know is that as long as they are doing their best and they're doing something they're passionate about, I will support them. So I'm hoping that she finds her way as she goes, but I'm not going to pressure her to decide today what she's going to do for the rest of her life. I think that life guides you.
That's so true. And that's a perfect kind of segue into what do you do for Special Operations Warrior Foundation. Tell me more about that opportunity that you give it's such an amazing thing for full educations and the opportunities that you give. I love that cradle to career. Tell me more about that program and what that means for those families. Uh-oh. Is that my internet? I'm going to hit record. Finish here. All right. So, so I'd asked you about the amazing programs, educational programs and opportunities at the Special Operations Warrior Foundation.
Yes, I'm glad that you asked. I love being able to be part of this mission. So we actually have two missions. I'll briefly touch on the first one, which is to provide immediate support to the wounded, ill, and injured, special operations personnel and support personnel.
Okay.
So unfortunately, there has been some training accidents or illnesses to where we can provide those service members a one-time stipend to help them offset some of the costs that may come with travels, getting family in, health bills that may not be covered, all kinds of things. So that is the first part of our mission.
Right.
The second part of our mission is what you had talked about, the educational support from Cradle to Career. And this is something to provide to the surviving children of fallen special operations personnel and support personnel. In 2020, we added that to include the children of all Medal of Honor recipients.
Oh, wow.
And then last year, we actually added, which I think speaks to how our community views the service member and their spouse as a partnership. We added when a special operations personnel or support personnel loses their spouse while they're actively serving, we will cover those children as well.
No kidding. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it shows how the community comes together as well. And for those children, and as children are young, primarily our communication is with the surviving spouse or the guardian of those children. But from cradle to career, as you said, from preschool all the way into college graduation and career, we are supporting these children in different ways and different forms.
That has to take a load or a weight off of the shoulders of the parents and the children too, to be able to have something like this in place. What have you heard from individuals that have been able to utilize this for their advancement, for helping their family to thrive after something so tragic?
I think the best feedback that we ever get from our families isn't necessarily about the financial support that we provide, because that's guaranteed to them and they know it's coming, but it's the fact that they become part of a family.
That's
amazing. We're a small foundation, but one thing that I truly believe in, and I've made it part of my mission, is to ensure that our families understand that we are there for them wholeheartedly.
If it's something that we can't do, then we will find them someone who can do it, because we want to ensure that they know that from this point on that they have someone they can rely on.
That's that support group that's so important in having people to thrive and get past these huge traumatic incidents. What is the next iteration of you look like? You're in a lot of different things. What are you aspiring for coming up here in the future?
You know, I can honestly say I love this job. I love this job. My aspirations include staying here and just making it the program's the best it possibly can be. I will say I was amidst my doctoral degree. I ended up taking a little bit of a break because it's difficult raising three children and working and my husband not being here, but I fully intend on going back, not necessarily to move on and go somewhere else, but because I just want to be the best leader I can. I believe that comes with always being willing to learn and grow.
I love that. I love that. Well, it's been an honor to have you on. I've got three questions for you. Are you ready for those?
I hope so.
All right. The first one is if you could go back to your 18-year-old self and give yourself one piece of advice, what would that be?
18-year-old me, slow down.
Slow down. I love that.
Yeah. I think that at 18 years old, I've always been very driven and always wanted to do whatever I could, but sometimes we just need to slow down and enjoy where we're at in that moment in time.
So true. So true. All right. Second one here is everybody's going through challenges and struggles in their own life in their own way. What would two habits be that you would say that people can incorporate into their lives to continue to live forward?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. I will say the one thing is the habit of building relationships, because you can't do life alone and you need people in your corner. You need people to be able to go to, because there will be times where you need help.
I love that. Yeah.
So the habit of building and maintaining and really being purposeful in relationships. The second thing I would say is the habit of organization. I mean, that's a huge one. Me through a lot of things. I think you can achieve and maintain and do many things as long as you can have a organized life.
That's so true. That's so true.
Even if it's organized chaos, it still counts.
Which is most parenting. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yep.
All right. This last one's going to be fun. So if you could have coffee at a firehouse table, in other words, all you can ask any question, all questions are open, with three people, they can be deceased or alive. Who would those three people be?
Oh, okay. Okay. I think the first one, it would be my dad. I lost him about 5 years ago. And I feel like there's still so many things I wish I would have asked him. And I wish I would have talked to him about when I didn't, and I had the opportunities. That would be my first one. My second one would be, let's see.
That was a struggle.
That was a struggle. I don't know. You know, I'm a pretty open communicator, so usually I can ask questions when I want to, but you know, I'm not sure who else I would ask. I would love to just sit down. I think the hard thing is with our job is having quality times to sit with these family members as well.
Right.
I can pick a couple of family members off the top of my head who I would love just to sit down with, and without distractions, without having to talk about support, just to sit down and hear their story and check in and see how they are as individuals. I think that would be an amazing opportunity as well.
I love that. I love that. That good answers. I love that, Barbara.
You put me on the spot for sure.
I did. It was good though. It was good. You nailed it. You knocked it out of the park. Well, I appreciate you being on the show today, and definitely appreciate everything that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right. Have a good day, and we'll talk to you next time.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening and supporting the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Remember, Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast. And please share this episode with a friend or family member. To find out more about Fireman Rob, or if you have a question, go to www.firemanrob.com. Until next time, live your life forged in the fires.